we're in the middle of Perek Dalet. We're still with Devorah and Barak. They have not yet fought exactly against the against Sisera. Says the pasuk Yudalev, Chevra Keni nifrad mikan yibnei Chovav Chosei Moshe. Chevra Keni was separated from the other Kenim. They were the people, the sons of Chovav, the father-in-law of Moshe Ben. V'yita aload Elon batza'ananim. Right, he turned his tent all the way to Elon and Sa'anim, Asher as Kadesh, that was right by Kadesh itself. Here's what happened over here. We got a guy, that's in Yeshua. Yeah, look in the next part, right? So the Canaan held that you shouldn't live in one spot. There should be no permanent houses. Instead, they lived in tents, and they settled down all over the place. And the reason why is because, simply put, the Canaan were not committed to anything until the base of Mikdash was going to be built, or until the Mishkan had a permanent spot. Since the Mishkan did not yet have a permanent spot in their minds, they still lived in tents waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pick something. They were loyal to the Jewish people. They had a lot of Torah. But they also had a deal with the Canaanim so that the Canaanim wouldn't kill them as well. Obviously, you are very, very vulnerable to attack if you're living in a bunch of tents out there. So you can imagine the Canaanim had to make peace with everybody they possibly could. Chever, maybe because they had made a deal with the rest of the Canaanim, moved away from everybody else. He was Nifrad from the Canaanim so that he could offer assistance to the Jewish people. He was not like the rest of the Canaanim, but nobody else knew that. Pasuk Yudalet. Ve'agidu l'Sisera Allah bar b'aminoam har tavor. Sisera said, was told that Bar Aminoam went to Har Tavor. Ve'yazik Sisera kol rechbo. He got all of his chariots together. Tramios rechav barzel. 900 iron chariots. Ve'eskolam sheritom echarosh zagayim al nachol kishon. All the people that were with him in Harosh zagayim, they went to Nachol Kishon. Ve'tovar divar al barakum. This is the day that Hashem is putting Sisera in your hands. Hashem is going out in front of you. Barak went down with 10,000 people that were with him. So a bunch of things over here. Number one, he had 900 chariots. Why were there 900 chariots? Chazal say that by Mitzrayim, the Egyptians chased after the Jews with 600 iron chariots. And Hashem said, because the Yamsuf spat out the chariots onto the shore, it did not keep the Egyptians inside for the fish. In other words, spat them out so that the Jews could see that they were all dead. So when that happened, Hashem promised, I'm going to pay you back 1.5 times for what happened. So 900 chariots is 1.5 times the 600. That was going to happen, and that was going to be the payback that's going to happen right now. What are you going
to
say?
Is 900 chariots supposed to be a lot? Like, was it maybe two people a chariot? Like,
for these wars, I think it was. But they were especially because they're iron chariots. They went out in front and they destroyed everything before the army came in. So I think that was considered a lot.
He couldn't have been fighting with a lot of people behind him.
You'd have to assume, I mean, 10,000 on Barak's side, so you'd assume something like 15,000 to 20,000 on the side of Sisera. You'd assume, right? That's something like that. We did say that there was a lot. The fact is that there was a lot of issues. But this was the real thing. If you looked up in the stars on that very day, Sisera was able to read the stars. He saw he was going to die that day, and his army was going to be destroyed. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart and allowed him to go out there, because when he saw that Barak came out there, there was no way he was going away from a fight. What, he wants to fight me? He thinks he's as good as me? You better believe I'm going out there. And that's exactly what he did. He went out there to be able to destroy him. As soon as they saw, that Sisera saw that they were willing to come down there, he decided to go fight as well. And that's the pshat over here. So Sisera went out. It happened to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing that, obviously, he's going to be better. He's greater than anything the stars say. By the sword, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused Sisera, his chariots, and all the camp by the sword. And Sisera was a weakling. So he just got up and ran away. Absolutely ran away, didn't do anything else. He didn't want to be with his people, didn't try to help anybody, ran away from the army completely. Barak kept chasing after the chariot, not thinking that he would desert his whole army. After the camp, the whole camp of Sisera died by the sword, not one remained. Chazal tell us that Nachal Kishon, the little stream of Kishon that they were trying to go through, as soon as their feet hit the water, it turned into this tormented, like this huge storm and water coming from everywhere, and it drowned everyone there. Every single one of the people that were in Sisera's army, the roaring river started taking them and brought them all over the place. That's where they died. It was a little crazy. Some say that they even saw a burning sword in the sky, or a terrible noise that scared them, and therefore they had no idea what to do. Sisera ran away. But Sisera nas braglava ol Yael. He went to the tent of Yael, Eshes Chevra Keni, to the wife of Chevra Keni. Ki shalom ben Yavin Melech Hazor ben Beis Chevra Keni. There was peace between Yavin and base chaver akeni. Vatesi Yael likra sisra. Yael went out to go greet the vatomer love. Sura aduni, sura ilai. Turn to me, my master. Turn to me. Al tira. Don't be afraid. Vayasor ala ola. He turned her to the tent. Vatesil besmicha, and she covered him up with a blanket. Vayomer lein, he said to her, Yashkini na mama. Give me a little bit of water. Kitzamese, I'm very thirsty. Vatiftach is no to chalav. She instead took out a bottle of milk. Vatashkeu, she gave him to drink some milk. Vatachaseu, and she covered him up with a blanket. Vayomer lein, amod pesachol. Stand by the opening of the tent. Vayim ish yavo sheilech. If a man comes and asks you, Vamra yesh po ish, is there a man here? Vamat ayin. You'll say, no, there's no one here. Go tell people that I'm not here. I think Yalish is covered. Kenias, he said, oh, she took the peg of the wall itself. And she placed the hammer in her hand. She came to him slowly. She stuck the peg into his brain. He fell down to the ground. He was already tired. Completely weary. And he died from what happened over here, from what happened right over here. Now, Chever HaKeni and the rest of the Canaan had made peace with Yavin's army. Sisera was aware of that. When he saw a tent that was clearly from the Canaan, he knew he could have peace with them, and he wasn't worried about that whatsoever. So he was there. He was ready to go through. The difference was Chever never made that treaty, and therefore it was mutter for Yael, his wife, to be able to destroy them. Right? That was what it was allowed over here. It was a personal agreement between Chever, maybe, and between the other Canaan that went between him and Yavin, but it wasn't through there itself. Some say that Chever HaKeni only did it himself. He did not include his wife when it came through. The Malbim says they just lied. They were willing to make peace with him when they found an opportunity to kill each other, right? They were ready to kill each other.
It seems like he knew exactly where he was going, Sisera.
Sisera, it does seem like he ran exactly to the right place, although it could also be with Hashgacha Pratis. Art Scroll says the reason why she felt that Sisera had to die is because Sisera was so evil that if he would have gotten away, he would have started another army and something else would have happened, so it had to go down. Something had to happen right over here. Now, if you'll notice, it says he went to her tent. You didn't walk into a woman's tent back then without her permission. You could not walk in. That's not what happened back in the day. You had to go through in such a way.
Right, he didn't. It says, but
yes,
she went out.
She went out in order to go through, in order to bring him inside. But she was already planning his destruction. As soon as he felt safe and things were like that, that's going to be them. She seduced him. 7 times she seduced him in order to make sure that he would be fully asleep by the time he would be ready, etc. And that's the idea behind it. Sisera was funny. He said the line, right? If anybody asks you if anybody's home, tell them no one's here. That wasn't a lie. In the end of the day, when Yael killed Sisera, that's truthful. No one is here. Because Sisera's dead. So that was a line that was going to be exactly that. Now, Chazal asked why she was allowed to do this. She was together with the enemy.
Where do they even, like, within the episode?
From the song. We're going to get to it. Kara, Shachav, etc. It's a weird wording, as we'll get to it. But the song shows it. But she was a married woman. Maybe she was Jewish, maybe she wasn't. There's a kasha whether she was Jewish or not. But who gave her permission to do this? Chazal say that she did this as an Avera Lishma. She did it L'shem Shemayim. She knew it was an Avera. And according to the Gemara, she was usher to her husband. She was forbidden to her husband for the rest of her life because she willingly gave herself over, but she was willing to do it in order to save the people. The Gemara says, Toivasan shel Rishayim ra yetzel tzedikim. Even the best thing that the Rishayim could do is bad for the tzedikim. So the fact that she was with him, she felt no pleasure from being with him, and that's how bad it was. In fact, it was so great that the Gemara says, this Avera Lishma made her equal to the Nashim Sheba Ol, to the woman in the Ol, referring to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. That's how great Yael was, even though this is an act, which is absolutely disgusting. Chazal also bring down in the Medrash just the opposite. Sisera seduced her 7 times, and she stopped herself 7 times. She was able to save herself 7 times, and she was so mad that he kept trying to do that, that eventually she killed him. And the fight back, she was able to kill him while he was sleeping. Now, in Pasuk HaBeis, v'nei Barak, Radav Sisera. Again, Barak is chasing after Sisera, trying to see where he is. He went after the chariot, saw it was empty, had no idea where to go. V'atzeti Yael l'kros, Yael went out to greet him, v'atom lo leich v'areka z'ish asher atom v'akesh. Go, and I will show you the person that you are searching for. The wording over here is weird. It shouldn't be leich, it should be bo. Come, and I will show you, right, the person that you're searching for. I don't have an answer as to why it's lech. That's weird wording. Vayavoila, he came toward her tent. Vine Sisera nofel meis. Sisera's dead. Vayasa brakasu, he had a peg in his brain. He's like, ew. You did this? It's disgusting. Vayakan Elohim bayomahu, is Yavin melekanan v'lifnei b'nei Yisrael. On that day, Yavin the king of Canaan became humbled before b'nei Yisrael. Vatele Yavin Yisrael halach v'kashu, they got harsher and worse. Al Yavin melekanan asher ad asher akritzu as Yavin melekanan, until they totally destroyed Yavin, the king of Canaan, right over here. Now again, Barak lost the right to kill Sisera himself. Remember, because he had asked for Devorah to join him in the beginning of the parak, he lost the right. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean he loses everything. There should be something that he gets over here, and that's exactly what happened. He didn't have to waste his time searching for what happened to Sisera. He found out exactly what happened as soon as he possibly could. Okay, Parakei. There are 10 songs that are mentioned in Tanakh. Oz Yashir is the first. Shiras HaBe'er, when they sing by the well, is number 2. Hazinu is number 3. Shiras Devorah, this one is number 4. Number 4 is the Shir of the Lamed Aleph Malachim, the 31 kings in Yehoshua. Number 5 is Shiras Devorah. Number 6 is the Shir of Chana, in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. Number 7 is Shiras David, Perek Chaf Beis in Shmuel Beis. Number 8, I always forget. Number 9 is the 10 B'nai Haman. And number 9 is Aseres B'nai Haman. Number 10 is Shir HaShirim. This is number 5. Okay, because it's written in that fashion. Anything like that is written as Shir. There's one other one that I always forget. I just never remember it. Devorah and Baruch Ben Avraham saying on that day, saying the following. Now, first of all, was this considered Kolisha? Were you allowed to do it? Some say that's the reason why Baruch sang it with her, so it wouldn't be Kolisha that there was a man singing it with. I think it's obvious that not. Whenever something's done with Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, and something like that, there's no way that could be considered something that's illicit, you know, where you'd have bad thoughts while listening to that person. So even though, yeah.
That's not the point anyways. It's not some sort of, like, lullaby. It's right. Like, it's a story.
It's a story that goes through within the song. I mean, you should know, by the way, many Rishonim say that they never sing it. It's not like singing as in that. It's singing as in, Oz Yashir Moshe. And if that's like, if you're listening to Laning and Shabbos, you're like, that's a song. You got other problems. But that's what they were doing and trying to make it that way. So in some way, they had to sing a song. Now, why sing a song in and of itself? Yavin blasphemed B'nai Yisrael. Yavin was going around saying how B'nai Yisrael were garbage and there was nothing or whatever it was. And they needed to sing a song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show that they were stronger than everything like that. It wasn't like a Kushan Rish HaSayim or Eglon, where both of them respected the God of the Jews. This man did not respect the God of the Jews, and therefore they sing a song going through everything right over here. Chazal say they sang this song, Zemiyam Loez, sang the song on the very day of victory. Never delay your singing. Never delay if there's anything like that. It's for that. Not only does the song apply for that generation, it applies for all generations. And we do sing it two haftorahs out of the year. We sing it on Zion. Parshas B'Shalach. Oh, you know what? No, just once.
Yeah.
On Parshas B'Shalach. That's what we do on haftorahs, Parshas B'Shalach over there. It says over here, lay more, saying. Now that's weird. What are you saying to what? Like, obviously, you're going to say the thing over here. So somehow, it probably refers to how they sang the song. One person sang it, the other people added it on. You know how, like, what we do by Hallel? Hodu Hashem Kitokim L'chasa. Hodu Hashem Kitokim L'chasa. Yomar Yisrokim L'chasa. Yomar Yisrokim L'chasa. Hodu Hashem Kitokim. Probably that's what happened in the song. Everybody's singing a stanza, and that's where it was written. That's how it was read over here. When Nevi'im, these words came into their mouths, they composed this song on their own. However, the words that came into their mouths were straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were deep in holy thoughts. Here, we're not going to be able to go through all of them, but we'll go through some. The beginning of the song literally makes no sense. In Pasuk Beis, Bifra Praos Bi Yisrael. Now, we have no idea what those words mean. When there was, number one, when there were broken boundaries, like poreas and knocking down boundaries, does it mean when there were outbreaks, when there was lawlessness? What does it mean that there was vengeance upon the enemy, like para, to pay them back? What does it mean that they volunteered to come back? And whatever it is, Bisrael, Bisnadevam, when the people volunteered to return, Baruch Hashem, they blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All those are different ways of understanding what those words, Bepro'a, Pro'is, could possibly be when they went through. There's an interesting line over here as well. We all know that when the Malachim tried to sing Shiras Hayam, they tried singing Oz Yashir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what? My siyadai tovim b'yam, my handiwork is drowning in the sea. And you guys want to sing Shira? So why is this allowed? Why are they allowed to sing Shira over here by Devorah? Why would this be allowed? That's strange. Why would we be allowed to do such a thing? So the pshat is that when the Malachim wanted to sing, one of the answers is, when the Malachim wanted to sing, they wanted to sing during the drowning of the Egyptians. And so that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, while they're drowning, I don't want you to do anything. After they drown and everything's over, then you're allowed to sing because you were saved from it. That's why Devorah did it afterward, and Moshe Rabbeinu did it afterward. That's the idea behind it. The angels wanted to sing right there at that time. That shows callousness. That shows a lack of sympathy for the people. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you can't do that. And that makes a lot of sense, that you sing not when people are being destroyed, when people are being hurt. You sing after everything is said and done. That's the idea. In Pasuk Gimel, Shimo Malachim Azinu rose name, listen, O kings. O, give ear, O princes. Anochi LaHashem, Anochi Yashir. I am for Hashem, I sing. I will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel itself. Okay, so when the kings and all the generals, you know, when they're victorious, they take credit by themselves. They think it was their own strength and bravery. They have monuments made and everything. We're giving it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, no, absolutely not. We're giving credit all to God. There was nothing else that we got over here. Yeah.
Even for Amalek, they shouldn't do well.
Even for Amalek. Yeah, even then, there's no din in singing. You can't sing because there's still handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. They may not be as great, but nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to live. When you walked away from Seir, when you stepped away from Seir, so the land quaked and the heavens dripped. Even the clouds gave forth their water. What they're saying over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like you just picked Bnei Yisrael and you gave us the Torah and that's that. You offered it to the other nations and they said no. However God offered it to them, whether it was by going with Malachim or he asked them in dreams or somehow, whatever it was, it doesn't make a difference. Somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the nations and they said no. When that happened, the earth quaked. It was as if the whole world didn't want to continue because nobody wanted to accept the Torah. Harim Nazlut Nehashem. All the mountains melted in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Sinai of Nehashem Elohim. Melekel Yisrael. Even Sinai in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's that. And therefore, because we accepted it while they didn't, we have the right to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us while nobody else. He may have created them, but it's a little bit different. There obviously were other mountains that wanted the Torah on them. Har HaKarmel, Har HaTavor. Each one of them got a reward at some other time, but unfortunately they didn't get it at that time itself. Yeah.
The song, Har Sinai,
because it was so small. Okay, whatever it is, yeah. And they go through, yeah, the 613 Torah Avenue. We know what that is. Then he goes into, if you want to go look at the Me'am Lois over here, he goes into a whole piece. It starts right over here and it ends right over here. I'm just going to start this off, okay? But when a generation is led by a woman, it can only mean that there is no man capable of leading them. For if it were, he would surely be the leader and not she. This does not imply that women are inferior to men. And then he goes on. So I'm going to leave those 2.5 pages for everybody else to read at their leisure, and it should go through over here. But people do ask the following. They ask, how is Devorah fit to judge? There are machlokism, but it seems that women cannot be dayanim. They're not allowed to be in dayanim in a regular court. For whatever reason. So if they can't, and how in the world is she able to do it? So it could be only at that time she was willing to judge because there was no one else around. There was nobody qualified, and therefore she took up and she went there. Some say she was just an advisor and an arbiter. That's the reason why it was over there. Others say that she was exactly like the other judges. She was able to judge, and she was just that smart and that brilliant, and therefore she was able to. But other women may not be able to. We can't guarantee that. But if there is a woman who gets up who's just that great, they would be. I do want to point out, it is absolutely amazing that the fifth leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe, Yoshua, Osniel ben Kenaz, Shamgar ben Anas, Devorah, and Aviah, the fifth leader of Klal Yisrael was a woman. And then, no one until the end. We don't have another one. Yeah, we have Asalia, who is evil. We have Shlomtzion Amalka and Hilini Amalka, who we don't know much about from the Hashemite kingdoms. But no one until you get to...
Yeah, but you can say it's the woman behind the man, you know?
Yeah, of course. It's just strange that you would have thought, if Devorah made it to number five, you'd think there'd be more women up there. But we don't see them. Yael was also supposed to be some sort of a shofetis in some way, but there's nothing else. It's very strange. And that's why it says in Pasuk Vav, Bimei Shamgar ben Anas, Bimei Yael, and that he's of Shamgar and Yael. Sounds like Yael was a very important person. Chadu al Rachos, people stopped walking the roads. Holchei Nesivos, not only that, but even people on paths stopped doing what they were doing. They wouldn't even walk on paths. Yochel Orchos HaKalkalos, they went all the way around because they couldn't stand going the normal way because there were so many robbers all around and they were so worried about what was going to happen with them. They were so worried about what was going to be. That's how bad it was, right? Which is a little bit scary, right? Even the people using paths had to take detours. Chadu Prozon B'Yisrael, no one lived in open villages in Yisrael. Chadelu, they stopped. Ad Shekamti Devorah. until I got up, says Devorah, until I got up, Devorah, Shakamti Aim B'Yisrael, until I was the mother over all Bnei Yisrael, I was able to persuade people to live back in the regular towns. Now, she was 100% correct. This was not arrogant. She was 100% true in what she said. It was because I got up and I went out and did it. But because she expressed it so explicitly, she lost her prophecy for a little bit, as we're going to see a little bit later on, and that was somewhat bad. Now, there are other opinions over here. The Ora HaTorah, which is also based on the Gemara itself, says Devorah is known as a bee. She's known as a bee, a tummy creature, a tummy bug. The reason why she's known as that name is because she did something wrong by showing her gaiva. By doing that, she's made as lowly as a little bee. That's the idea behind it. So that's strange, right? But nonetheless, that's the idea behind it. So Malbim says the way Aim is, it's like I birthed them again. I was their mother. I changed them completely from what they were, right? And I did everything that I was supposed to do. Yivra Elohim Chadoshim, they chose new gods, Elohim Chadoshim, Oz Lachem Sha'arim. Then there was war right at their gates. Maginim Yura Eva Romach Barbaim Elohim Yisrael, right? There was no spear nor shield among the 40,000 of Bnei Yisrael. We hadn't fought in so long, they forgot how to fight wars. It's been long years since they had fought before this. They didn't know how to fight, and they lost really, really quickly.
Why didn't they go out into battle with Sneel Ben Kenaz?
That was years ago. Years ago, it was almost 80 years.
80?
Yeah. The amount of time that Devorah was there. Now, how long exactly? But it was almost 80 years since the time of Sneel Ben Kenaz. It's been a long time, right? That's not something that you can go back to. Even by the times of Ehud Ben Gera, 40 years since then, right? So it's not easy to be able to go back to over here. And this is the shot. When they worshipped idols, they were helpless. There might have been 40,000 people that were fighting a war, but they all felt helpless. Libi l'chokei Yisrael, my heart is for the lawgivers of Bnei Yisrael. Not been ba'al mevorcho. Hashem will voluntarily help the people. They bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rochvei asenos tzchoros. They ride on white donkeys. Yoshvei al midin. They sit in judgment. Holkei al dar sichu. They go around telling of God's praises. In other words, they learn Torah. This is what she's saying. She's saying now people are able to drive around again. They're able to go around from place to place, right? At least they're going to be able to do something. Devorah was praising the scribes who still went out even when it was dangerous in order to go and learn Torah from place to place. She was going around. The white donkeys that they wore were befitting of their honorable position and what they were supposed to do and how they went through. Some say tzchoros does not mean white. It means select. The donkeys that they rode were select, the best donkeys, the swiftest and the greatest donkeys. They'd be able to get out no matter what. And it urged everyone to be able to learn and do whatever they want to do. Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Mikol mechatzim b'mashabim. Now, what it says, from all the gangs out there, b'mashabim, between all the places, Shom Yisanu Tzidkos Hashem. Now they learn. All the places where they used to be afraid of and these robbers were there and horrible people, now they sit and learn. This is a line that they quite often use when you see like all these places turned into Bate Medrash, right? You have these like places that are bought by shoals or bought by a base Medrash and they turn into like these awesome new Bate Medrash. Like there was a theater that was bought out somewhere in the East Coast. They turned it into a base Medrash. They went down about this. And that's it. We're bringing it into a great place. Yeah.
They say that about a church turned into a shul.
Well, yeah, there's machlokas and how you can do that. But basically, you got to wait a year. Well, some say you got to wait a year. Others say that you can turn the Kedusha immediately, right? But yeah, it's a problem because once you're dealing with Avodah Zarah, because Christianity is Avodah Zarah, then you have issues. Tzidkos Berzona B'Yisrael, Oz Yor D'Lashar Mam Hashem. Then the people were able to go back to their gates. I'm sorry?
I thought there was an issue with that. You're allowed to go from under the holy, but not the other way around.
It's a question. Makor was told as a psak that they had to wait 1 year. The Greek Orthodox Church that was there before, they had to wait 1 year. They ended up waiting 5. It was more for money reasons, but you know, but that was the reason why they ended up doing over here. It's really crazy. The word mechatzim is clearly from the word chet, as in arrows. That there were, you know, people that threw bows and arrows, and maybe they did stuff like that. Mechatzim could also be the sheep that grazed near the holes and stuff like that. I don't know either way, but the people they were like this. There were people that were all around, and they were trying to get them. Uri, Uri, Devorah. And then in Pasuk Yud-Beis, wake up, Devorah. Uri, Uri, Diabri Shir, stay over this year. Kum Barak, get up, Barak. Ushavei Shaviyacha Ben Avinoam, and take your captives, Ben Avinoam. Now, clearly, this is a continuation from before. Because she was arrogant, and because she had said something wrong, she lost her Nevuah, and she had to wake herself up to get herself back in, to get herself back into Nevuah. That's the problem that happened over here. Now, obviously, Devorah was not an arrogant person. That's not who she was. She was just saying it. But, Nunu, if the expression came in, there was something that was wrong even by her, and therefore it caused her prophecy to stop. Oz Yurad Sarid Ladirim, and then Sarid, a ruler, Barak, went down for the strong ones. Am Hashem Yurad Li Bagiborim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled me to rule over the other strong people. Meaning Ephraim, Shoresh, and Ba'amalek. Ephraim, their Shoresh, their root is Amalek. No, we're not saying that Ephraim is from Amalek. Ephraim has the ability to always destroy Amalek. Yoshua was the first one to be able to do so. Acharecha Binyamin, and after you, Binyamin, Shaul HaMelech also destroyed Amalek. Bamamecha Mina Machir, all the way from Machir, Menashe as well. Yordi Machakikim, Zvulun Moshe B'Shevet Sofer, and then eventually Zvulun as well. You have people that were able to come through. Sarah B'Yisachar and Devorah, the officers of Yisachar went with Devorah, B'Yisachar ben Barak ba'Emek, Shulap Ragla B'Flagos, Ruvain Gedolim Chikeilev. They all went into the area, but Ruvain, he stayed where he was. He didn't go and fight. Yisachar fought, Zvulun fought, Menashe, Ephraim, and Binyamin fought. But where was Reuven? Lama yashavtem in mishpasayim. Why were you sitting there, right, deep in thought? Lishma srikos adarim. You're srikos adarim. You're hearing the screaming of the flocks. Flagos Reuven gedola shikrei lev. People that are just thinking to themselves. Gila beber yarden shochin. The people of Menashe, the people in Gilad on the other side of the Jordan River. You stayed where you were. Why do you stay where you were? You didn't come help us. You stayed there. You were like, yeah, let's see what happens. Maybe we'll help you. But you stayed right there. Done. Let me go on Neos. Done. Started getting into ships to run away. That's how weak they were. She's like, why are you running away? You were right by the banks of the sea. You're sitting right by the open places. But Zvulun was willing to die. While Naphtali sat on their beautiful fields doing absolutely nothing. And that's the problem. So she goes on. Again, she praised Ephraim, she praised Binyamin, she praised part of Menashe, she praised Zvulun, she praised Yisachar. But then went around. Reuven, I can't believe you. Dun, I can't believe you. All these other people, why wouldn't you go through? And now he sits there and she says, I don't understand. Before Reuven, you said that you were willing to be on the border because you wanted to fight when other people came in. Now you're letting these people come right into Eretz Yisrael. I kind of doubt that you really want to be on the outside anymore. Maybe it was the wrong thing to be able to go through. Dun even took their valuables out of their house and ran away on boats. That's how bad Dun was. Dun wanted to get away completely and he couldn't believe it. There's nothing about Usher as well. Usher is not mentioned whatsoever. Unfortunately, that's the idea behind it. Now, there is a remez to Zvulun and Naphtali fighting about their land. Okay. Bo melachim nochama oz nochamu malchik Kanan. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan, they fought. Bitanach al Megiddo, right by Megiddo. Betzek has a little kachu. They wouldn't take any bribes. Right? They wouldn't take anything. They had to fight and they lost. Mishamayim nochamu al kochav misilosam. Even in the heavens, the stars fought in their paths. Nochamu and Sisra, they fought with Sisra. That means the Malachim themselves came out in order to destroy Sisra. Nachal Kishon Grafam. Even Nachal Kishon, the stream of Kishon, as we said, swept them away. Nachal Kidum and Nachal Kishon. It is an early, it is an ancient stream, that Nachal Kishon. Tidruchi Nafshi Oiz. Its soul, it trampled the souls that were there. Azhomo Ikvesus Midaros, Daros Abirov. All the heels of the horses stuck into the river. They couldn't get out, and all the people went through. It's kind of cool what happened over here. The stars, says Devorah, based on the Medrash, the stars shone down with glaring rays and made it so heated up that the mud turned into like cement, grabbed the horse's legs and started making it like quicksand, so they started falling into the mud itself. They heated the armor and the weapons of the Canaanim, so they had to take it off. Well, when they took it off, what do you think would happen? They were vulnerable to every attack. Because they couldn't breathe anymore, right? They weren't able to do anything. So when they were so hot, they jumped into Nachal Kishon in order to cool themselves off. That way, Nachal Kishon got a hold of them, swung them around, and destroyed them when they were there, right? That's the idea behind it. The horses also trampled over the soldiers when they got out of the mud. They were able to run away. They trampled over the soldiers themselves. Lots of Nisim happened over here. And of course, what happened was all the bodies of those 900 chariots worth of people were swept down by Nachal Kishon, all the way down to Mitzrayim, brought them into the Yamsuf, and the Yamsuf was finally rewarded for its fish that gave up the Egyptian bodies before. Now the fish ate. Maybe some of the fish were the same age. I don't know, right? But some of the fish were just like, oh, finally. It is kind of cool, though. They have some things. There are fish. They have no idea how old some of these fish are. There's a lungfish at the John Shedd Aquarium. They have no idea how old it is. They think it's over 160 years old. They have no clue. It's really the craziest thing in the world. I look at my fish tank. I have a fish tank where three of the fish are older than all of my kids. It's cool. These fish have long lives. You don't think it that way, but and they're sitting in a tank. Right, but it's like that. I'm sorry?
You hear my bird died?
No. That's terrible. Chav Gimel. Oru Meiroz, Amar Malach Hashem. The Malach of Hashem said, cursed is Meiroz. Oru Aru Yoshua, cursed is he, cursed are all those who live there. Kilovo, Laz Hashem, Laz Hashem, Begiborim. How did they not come to help Hashem? How did they not come to help the mighty right over here? There's lots of opinions about what Meiroz is. The Radak says it was a city that was close by. The Rashi says it was a very powerful person. However, Rashi also says it was the protecting star of Sisera, the Malach that was in charge of Sisera itself. It said that he was going to be victorious. When all the other stars fought against him, this one didn't, so it was cursed forever. Meiroz is no longer there. The Kliyakar says there were inhabitants of the place where that star was, and those inhabitants didn't come fight against Sisera. And because they didn't come fight, they were cursed. Well, that is your first proof for alien life. The inhabitants of another star did not come to fight to be able to go through. If you look, by the way, the word Meiroz clearly is similar to the word Mars. Similar to the word Mars. So Martians did not come to be able to help us when it went through. But it is absolutely amazing that it refers to over here. So that's right there. It is an interesting line, but it does seem from Chazal, and Rav Aryeh Kaplan in one of his books says that this is his proof when people ask him if there's such a thing as alien life. He says, here you go, Meiroz. Alien life. Doesn't have to be Martian. Doesn't have to be. I'm pretty sure there aren't any Martians, but I don't know. You know, I haven't been there, right? Nobody really has. So who knows? Who knows? I don't want to deny anything. So in a couple years when we find out there are people living on Mars and they're just like, yeah, we didn't want to come, we'll just be like, we knew. Right here. This is where it's from. Tivorach minashim yal eishes chavarakeni minashim ba'ol tivorach. Blessed from all women is yal eishes chavarakeni, the wife of chavarakeni. From all women in the tent, women in the tent, referring to, you know, Sar Rivka Racholea, she should be blessed. Mayim shawl, he asked for water. That's what sister asked for. Cholov nosana, she gave him milk. B'sefal adim rekriva chama, she brought butter all the way, because that's what she had. Yadol yasit shlachna, she put her hand onto the peg in the tent. The Aminila Hamos Amelim, and her hand went straight to kill him. The Homeless Sister Machaka Reisha, she pierced his head. Machatzim Chofa Rakase, she pierced his brain. Bein Rag, and here's the wording, ready? Bein Ragleha, between her legs, Kara, Nafal, Shachav. She bent, he fell, he lied. Bein Ragleha, Kara, Nafal. Basher Kara, Sham Nafal, Shadud. That's where this person was destroyed. Because it says the word Kriya Nafal Shachav seven times, Chazal Darshan, that means that she was together with him seven times. Now, whether that means actually or seduced him seven times, I think that's a little bit of an easier line, right? That's where Chazal end up darshaning that. And of course, it could be the opposite, that she was seduced seven times and she said no every single time. That could be as well.
That wouldn't make sense.
What?
Reading the puzzle, that
would, yeah, that reading the puzzle wouldn't work. They also ask a question. They say, how is it mutter for a woman to use arms? A woman is not allowed to carry weaponry, right?
She wasn't.
It's not supposed to be that way.
Found it.
The answer is, well, it was a peg. It wasn't a regular knife, and it wasn't a regular sword. She didn't use that stuff. She used a peg for that reason right over here, which is absolutely crazy. Like, you're not going to use the easy weapon to kill Sisera. She's going to use something else. But it is absolutely crazy over here. Okay, also, it is interesting. I've never noticed warm milk. I've always heard that warm milk puts you to sleep, right? That it goes through. I've never felt that way either. I don't know if warm milk put me to sleep. Maybe it's milk and cream that they had back then. Maybe there's like a fatty milk,
that milk
and cream
drinking is not that they had.
That's true. Yeah, it's not pasteurized, right? It's a little bit. It probably is a creamish milk that was very thick and very whatever it was, and it was sort of like a soup. Rather than was the milk itself. Yeah. I mean, think about it. He served by the Malachim when they came for, you know, the three Malachim to Avraham Avinu. He served them Ben Bakar, right? And he served them Chalav and Chema, butter. But he didn't have bread. The bread was all Tameh, so what's the butter for? Could be the butter was like this milky, I don't know, some type of thing. Cottage cheese, yeah, something like that. So by the window, so the mother of Sisera stares and she cries. Ba'ada Eshnav, right by her Eshnav, we're going to see later on, the Eshnav could be her crystal ball. She was a magician. She knew how to use crystal balls. I wish I knew how to use a crystal ball. Madua Boshish Rechba Lavo, why is this chariot delayed in coming? Right? Madua Achru Pame Markavosev, what happened to the steps of the chariots? Chachmos Sarosel, her smartest officers, Tanana, they answer her. Afi Tasha Omrela, she also, she answers, she says, Bakal Yimtu Yachalko Shalal. Oh, no, don't worry. They have found great spoils. Racham racham asayim l'rosh gever. Ah, there's probably two wombs for every person. Disgusting. Absolutely. Can you imagine a mother saying that? But, oh, yeah, for sure. They're just dividing up the women right now. They're dividing up the women. That's what it is. Right? Shlout zvayim l'sisra. spoils embroidered with many colors. Shlal Tzvayim Rikma, there was embroidery, Tzavar Rikma, Sayim L'Tzavar, Shlal, for all of everything like that. Now, this is kind of cool. Devorah saw through a prophetic vision what was happening by Sisera's mom. Sisera's mom. Of course, Sisera's mom cried 100 times. And why? Just because we have 100 times? She cried 100 times? That is why we blow the shofar 100 times on Rosh Hashanah. Even the cries of an evil woman whose son was an evil person, nonetheless, we still feel that pain. And for that reason, we blow the shofar 100 times from right over here. It is kind of cool over here. But that is that. Another thing. She looked into her magic mirror. She said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And where's my son, Sisera? Right? And the mirror told him, she saw, it was called a window. Here's what the Malbim says. She looked at this window, the crystal ball, and she saw a woman stepping on the neck of Sisera. Right? She saw that right on top, right? And she looked at it and she said, what's going on here? She went to her chachamosa, she went to her wise women, and they said, oh, you know what that means? It means Sisera has won the war, and he's dividing up the spoils, which is the women. And that's why they said they're dividing up the spoils. That was the translation of the vision that she saw in her little crystal ball. Obviously, it's not true. She saw the actual thing that had happened. Others say it was just a window. Just a window. She's like looking out the window. She's like, coming, honey? And that, unfortunately, the answer is no. May all of your enemies be thus destroyed, Hashem. While your loved ones are like the sun goes out in its strength, the land was quiet for 40 years. That is the idea behind it. Now, I will tell you, there is a descendant of Sisera. His name is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is there. Some say, from the Balei Bris Avraham, that a child was born to Yael after she seduced him. She became pregnant from that seduction. That child eventually led to Rabbi Akiva.
And then how could some say? Because I was gonna say if she declined it, like seduced, like from.
Yeah, that then it's for sure not. Rabbi Akiva, without a question, was a Ben Gerim. That we know. Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. So his father was a Ger, or his grandfather was a Ger. Might be Akiva ben Yosef ben Shimon. But somebody was a Ger in the family. That Ger came from Sisera. That Ger came from Sisera. And what we're saying right now with the awesomeness over here is that that child was born possibly from Yael. And Yael wasn't Jewish. That's why he was able to go through. She was a Canaanite, and that's what I went through over here. But that is absolutely unbelievable and remarkable when it comes down to it. Okay, and that's that. When we say Ketes Hashem Shogurasso and Bab Vasra Chasim Beis, just as the sun gives its light to good and wicked, alike the righteous are kind to all. Like the sun, we give to everybody. The Tanya says we accept suffering as well. We're willing to do stuff like that. Okay, 40 years altogether. Rashi, the Rabag, and the Abarbanel say the 20 years of bad are included with the 40 years over here. It wasn't 20 years of bad and then 40 years of Devorah. It was 40 years of bad and Devorah together. That was quite a bit that happened over here. Okay, part above, yeah.
Did Rabbi Akiva himself hold that he would, like, believe that he was from that union, so to speak?
I don't know. He doesn't say it anywhere. It's not a Gemara, it's not a Medrash. It's brought down by a Sefer, you know, one of his Kabbalistic Sefers for him. It's like an idea that comes from it. Pasuk Aleph in Perek Vav. Now we're on to Shofet number 5. Shofet number 5, right? Because we have Asniel ben Kenaz, Eub ben Gera, Shamgar ben Us, Devorah, and Aviah. If you count Yael, I don't know if you want to.
No.
But number 5 is Gidom. Vayasu ben Yisrael, Rabbi Ne'ashem, Bein Ne'ashem, Bein Midyan, Sheva Shanim. Ben Yisrael again did evil in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem put them in the hands of Midyan for 7 years altogether. All this time, their previous sins had been continued. They had been wiped away. There was nothing new. This is a brand new thing that had happened over here. They were totally forgiven because they sang that song. The song gave them a full and utter kapara over here. But this was really, really bad.
But Tishko,
yeah.
Does that mean that it was like free of war?
Yeah,
they were
no
doing
wars,
good
no
things.
Battles, no wars, no battles, which means they were doing good things. Because as soon as they started doing bad, immediately other people started taking over. The Midianim were also, they were malicious. They didn't just kill the Jews. Instead, they made their lives miserable. They were cruel, they were malicious, they tried knocking them down in every way possible. It says in Pasuk Beis, V'atoz yad Midian al Yisrael m'bnei Midian asalem b'nei Yisrael min haros. The hand of Midian was so strong in b'nei Yisrael because of Midian, they had to make these tunnels, asher b'harim, all the way in the mountains, v'asam ha'aros v'asam etzados, as well as caves, as well as fortresses. V'ayim zari Yisrael v'alam Midian v'amalek b'nei Kedem v'alu alav. If b'nei Yisrael would plant seeds in the ground, then Midian Amalek and the people of the east would come upon it. Vayakra Alayim, they would camp on the fields. They Ashkisu Zibul Arutz, they would destroy the produce of the field, Ad Boacha Aza, all the way to Gaza. Vayashiru Michav Yisrael, the Jews were starving. There was no food left. Vesevashor Vachamor, they barely had any sheep and donkeys and oxen. Kehemo Migdam Yaluva Alayim Yavo Bnei Arbel Arov, all of them would come, these Midianim, and they came with all of their tents and all of their cattle, as much as locusts. There was no number to them in their counts. They came to the land just to destroy it, not to kill the Jews. They just took over all the food. All of their animals started grazing the field. There was no room for the rest of them over there. That's what had happened. The crops were totally destroyed. The Jews had no idea what to do with themselves. They had to have underground storage rooms in which they would pour the grain in and cover it up so that the would never be able to figure out. That's why it was called Minharos, like Nahar. It was like a river full of grain, but they couldn't get to it because it was in a deep cave because they couldn't go anywhere about it. Right? That's the idea behind it. So that's why it was really, really bad for Bnei Yisrael right over here. Some say Minharos was not caves at all. It refers to signals, where they would signal to each other when somebody was coming, so they would know what they had to do right over here. Vayidal Yisrael Ma'od, Bnei Yisrael became very poor, Mibnei Midian. Vayizakam Bnei Yisrael Hashem, they cried out to Hashem, listen, we're not dying, they're not killing us, but we're so poor. Ironically, they had tons of money, but the money meant nothing. There wasn't enough food to go around, but everybody had a ton of money, but you couldn't do anything with it, right? Their silver, their gold, the Midianim didn't want. They just wanted the Jews to starve. Pasuk Zayin. Vayi Kizak Bnei Yisrael Hashem Elodus Midian. When Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem for the Elodus Midian, for the deals of Midian. Vayishlach Hashem Ish Navi Okol Yisrael O Bnei Yisrael. A Navi was sent to Bnei Yisrael. Guess who the Navi was? The Navi was? Oh, come on. I know exactly what it was.
Pinchas.
Of course, Pinchas. Pinchas had, remember, he disappeared. He's not around. He continued. He was never among the people because he was misvoted the whole time. He's sitting on his own. But he was still around.
Same thing happened to what's face at the end of this, where the 10 tribes got Yirmiah. Well, didn't he disappear too?
Yirmiah also disappeared. But, well, he might not have been alive. Yeshaya. So says God. Listen. You guys think I haven't done anything for you? I took you out of Egypt. Otsias come based on them. I took you out of slavery. Atzos come based on Yaakov lochaseim, and I've taken you away from all those that oppressed you. Vagarsho some of them. I got rid of them from you. All the people around. Vatnulam come esaratam, and I gave you this land. Vavodakam and Yashem alkechem, and I said to you, I am your God. Lo siritz alukei amori esharatam yoshem baratam. Don't fear the gods in Amori that you're living in their land. Lo shematim bekoli. But you didn't listen to my voice, and you kept fearing them. You kept doing everything right over here. Right? That's the idea behind it. I'm sorry. You could say that, but that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to say, like, you have no idea. Okay, why didn't Pinchas come before this? Where was Pinchas the last 7 years? You know, like 7 years, the Bnei Yisrael suffering. Then Pinchas like, told you. Dude, that doesn't help. The answer is, number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not send a Navi unless he knows it's going to help. Until this point, it wouldn't help, so he didn't tell him to come. Number two, right, this may have been a prophet that is brought up later. It wasn't actually Pinchas. And a prophet only got the Nevuah at the end of 7 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to have it up until then. And that's that. Either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him at that point.
Does Pinchas come back at a later time after this?
We're going to say Pinchas. The Malach of Hashem came and sat underneath the oak tree, Asher Ba'Ofra, right by Ofra. If you want to know where Ofra is, it's still on the west bank, right, maybe about a half an hour away from Yerushalayim. Ofra still exists even today. Ashali Yoash, Avia Ezri. The land belonged to Yoash, the father of Ezri. Yoash Ezri. The Gidon Beno, Chovit Chitim. Gidon, his son, was smashing wheat, bagas, in the wine press, which is weird. You wouldn't do it in the olive press, I mean. You wouldn't normally smash wheat in the olive press, but obviously, why was he doing the olive press? To get away from the Midianim, right? So that nobody would see it. Some say, even says in a weird way, this was Chol HaMoed Pesach. And that's why he was chovet chitim. He wasn't doing it the normal way with animals smashing the chitim. He was doing it on his own with his own feet or something in a weird way that they normally would do. Lahanis v'nei Midian, because they have to keep it away from Midian. And it was mutter on chol because people were starving. Vayera lev malach Hashem. Malach Hashem appeared to Vayomer lev Hashem yimcha giborachayim. May God be with you, O strong man. We learned two things from this, by the way. You're allowed to use God's name when greeting somebody. You can even start with Hashem's name by saying Hashem yimcha. You're allowed to say Shalom Aleichem. Hashem's name should be upon you. That you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do it from right over here. Some say this is Pinchas. Others say it was Michoel. Others say it was a random Navi that was right over here. Now, Gidon was only worthy for this because of what he had just done. Gidon's father was with him, and they were both threshing it together. And he turned to his father and he said, you're old. Go home. I'll do this by myself. And because he was kind to his father, I'm sure he didn't say it that way, but by doing that, he was able to get this honor. By honoring his father, he corrected the sin of the Jewish people who didn't honor their father in Shemayim, and therefore he was zocheh to have this great thing happen to him. Listen, my master. He said, "Vayesh Hashem Yimanu, let Hashem be with us. Lo motzasnu kozos." I don't get it though. Why has Hashem caused all this to happen to us? Vayekol nefilos asher sipulanu avosenu lemor. Where are all the wonders that God tells us about, that our fathers told us about? Olim Yitzrayim elenu Hashem. Hashem took us out of Egypt. Vata netashnu Hashem. Vayinenu v'kaf Midian. But now Hashem has rejected us and put us into the hands of Midian. Where is God? Where has he been this entire time? Okay, so first of all, when he said biyaduni, he may not have known it was a malach. He wouldn't have said it that way. He said, "Biaduni, my master," right? He thought it was just a prophet or something like that. That's the idea of why you want to say over here. Number two, in fresh in his mind was Hallel and the story of Pesach. This is the second day of Pesach, right? It was in Eretz Yisrael, so you only keep one day of Pesach, right? But it was the second day of Pesach, and that's why it was fresh in his mind. He said, "Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't understand." If it was in its Chol HaMoed, again, it was mutter to do so because it was a big problem. And it says, "Vayifen Hashem Olav Hashem." So Hashem turned to him, Pesach Yedalev, and Yomer Leich B'Kuch HaZed. That's your power. Voshat Yisrael, that's what will save B'nai Yisrael Mikav Minyan. Elosh Lach Ticha. Now I am sending you. You're going to be sent for that reason. Okay. Gidon is a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. We see that from a Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Hei, where the Gemara says three Kalei Olam, three not so great people, were equal to three Chumrei Olam. Shimshon is like Aaron, Gidon is like Moshe, Shmuel and Avi is like Shmuel and Avi was the great one, was like Yiftach. Now Gidon was like Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to see. I'm going to try to point out 10 similarities between Moshe Rabbeinu and Gidon. Number one, while Moshe was working with his sheep, God appeared to him, right? God appeared to him out of nowhere, and he appeared to him in a snen, a thorn bush. Here, while Gidon was working, Shem appears to him in an oak tree. And again, a bush of some sort and a plant of some sort. A Malach of Hashem appeared to him at first, just like a Malach of Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu at first, and then Hashem appeared to him after that. Hashem himself appeared to him after that. Moshe Rabbeinu argued and said, "I'm not worthy of doing this," and questioned God's motives. Why are you doing this now? What happened up until now? Why would you cause all this to happen to Klal Yisrael? Moshe did that. Gidon did the exact same thing. Gidon questioned, "Why in the world are you going to do that?" Now, why was Gidon a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, there was a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu was never able to fight two nations that he really wanted to fight, but wasn't able to do it. He never fought against Amalek. Why didn't he fight against Amalek? He sent Yoshua instead, because Yoshua from Shevet Ephraim. So he never fought against Amalek. He also never fought against Midian. Why didn't he fight against Midian?
He was related to him.
Beer the shatis mine altashadi bekala, that the boar that you drink from, you don't throw a piece of dirt inside there. So you don't want to fight against the people there. But that means he had to go through it. In Parshas Matos, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're going to go fight Midian, he tells him, go fight Midian. But he sends Pinchas instead. He doesn't go fight Midian himself. He sent Yoshua the Amalekim, sent Pinchas against the Midianim. So here's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, right? Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael meis Midianim. Take vengeance for b'nei Yisrael from the Midianim. Achar te'asevel nacha. Afterward, you'll die. And everybody says, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you're going to die after you take revenge. You read it straight. It's not ve'achar. And afterward, you'll die. You'll take revenge against the Midianim after you die. After you die, you're going to come back, and this is going to be your Gilgal, in which it's going to happen over there. That's when they end up learning it from. There's a little bit more over here. It says, immediately, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, I'm not worthy. I'm the youngest in my house. Why would I be chosen? Pasuk Tesvav, Vayimela Biaduni, Biadunoi, he said, my master. Now he knows it's Hashem, so he says, Adonoi. He says, Kama Bama Oshias Yisrael, how am I going to save B'nai Yisrael? I'll be a Dalva Menashe. I'm the poorest in Menashe, Manuchi Yatzar Vavisavi. I'm the youngest in my father's house. Again, Moshe's the youngest. He's the youngest, and he complained about that. Vayimela Hashem. Ki ehayeh imach. Guess what? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu got the shame of ehayeh asher ehayeh, so too Gidon gets the name of ehayeh imach. I will be with thee. Ki says meaning ki shechad. You'll be able to destroy them. Ki shechad. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu when they came to Har Sinai, they were ish echad belev echad. Over here it says ki ish echad. They're going to be like one person all together right there. And then in pasuk yud zayin and yud ches, Vayimela 11, he said to him, Im nama tzasichem yenecha, if I find favor in your eyes, vasisili os shatim davrimi. Can you give me a sign? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu got an oath. Remember, he got the sign that the staff turned into a snake, his hand turned saras, right, and the water turned into blood. So too, he got a sign. I'm going to give you a gift to see right over here. He wanted a prediction of what was going to be in the future, and he offered to bring a gift because of it. We'll stop right there and post a good test, but this is the idea behind it. We'll stop right over there. Okay.